Well, God is going to be faithful this morning. And we want to turn to his word this morning and just read the word and share together the message. Father in heaven, we give you thanks this morning for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for the reminder of earthy things and their failures. We're reminded, Father, that you never fail, and that you are faithful no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in. And so this morning, one more time, as we open up the Word of God and as we share the Word and we preach the Word, we expect your grace, we expect your mercy. We believe that you are the great deliverer, and so we're trusting you this morning. So, Father, by your Holy Spirit, do a mighty work in my heart and mind and memory as I share the word this morning. Guide us, we pray, with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. For a message this morning, we were together with our family last night. There's a beautiful young lady here in the audience this morning that had a birthday yesterday. And so we were together to celebrate that last night. Happens to be my wife, in case you didn't know. I refer to her as a beautiful young lady, and I'm thankful so much for my dear wife. Excuse me. We were together as a family, and sometimes my children ask me, Dad, what are you going to preach about tomorrow? And very rarely do I tell them. And then sometimes they ask me, well, at least do you have a message title? And I didn't have that either last night at 8:30. But as I was going home, and we're old enough now that we get driven around sometimes, and so I wasn't driving, and I was in the back seat, and I was meditating, and I just started just praying. Say, God, do something with your word and the study and the preparation that has already taken. Just do something with it to help me understand where you would all want me to go tomorrow morning. And like that, it snapped into my mind. Unbeknownst to me, I had prepared message two, in a sequel to where I was last Sunday. And I don't know if any of you remember what I preached about last Sunday. Does anybody remember? We got one that remembers, another two. Preached a message on at the threshold of new life or at the threshold of revival. And the message was taken out of one of the most horrendous passages of Scripture that I know of in the Scriptures, called of Judges chapter 19. If you weren't here, read over it. But there's a story in there, one of the most horrendous Scripture stories that we have. Unbelievable what took place. And I'm not going to go into that this morning. And I ask you to read it and consider with me the awfulness of the situation. Dying at the threshold of life. Dying at the threshold of safety. And this lady that was crawling her way back home after being abused the whole night long. And she gets to the threshold of the doorway. And there she passes away and dies. Never getting to the place of being entering into the home in safety, where there was food and provisions and life. Never making it. And we talked about that. Various aspects that stand in the way, that get in the way of us coming to the place where we make a decision and cross over the threshold. And as I meditated throughout the week and prayed and asked God for a message, I settled on the message out of Joshua chapter 3. And little did I know what's there. Little did I know that it was message two to message one last week. Because this is standing at the threshold of life and entering in. And this morning, I don't know where you are in your spiritual journey. I don't know where you are. I don't know if you've even come to the Lord. I trust many of you have. But it doesn't matter. At some juncture in your life, you were at the threshold and you made a decision. I'm willing to cross over and believe on the Lord Jesus. Because that's where life is. That's where safety is. That's where eternal life is. Do you believe it this morning? At the crossing over the threshold to life eternal. Let me just read a passage of scripture. Where's Erica? She present? I don't know if somebody can revive this thing or not. It canceled the message notes for today and started typing a whole bunch of gibberish. So we'll ignore the gibberish and preach from the word. Joshua chapter 3. And Joshua rose early in the morning, verse 1, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. And he and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, bearing the ark of the covenant, that is, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. And I'm just going to stop there for a minute. As a message of salvation, as a message, and we heard this morning about the word of God being truth. Do we all believe it this morning? Do you believe that this book that you hold in your hands is truth? Doesn't necessarily just contain truth, it is truth. You with me? It is the word of God given to us, transcribed through men with personalities and giftings, but breathed into them direct from the throne of heaven. That's what inspiration means, I understand. Brother Arnold did a good job. Thank you for stirring our minds this morning. This breathed in God's word. And when we get to that place and we're at the threshold, we are called, like the children of Israel here, was to be ready to move. You notice that Joshua didn't say, well, you should go home and think about it for a couple days. This is the plan. This is the results of the brothers' meeting, and we think this is a good idea, but we should think about it for a while. No, the promised land was something that God had given to them and had promised to them that they would have. I'm telling you this morning, the promise to you is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that you might be saved. And you with confidence can move forward. The instructions to the children of Israel here, when you see the ark, get ready to move. I'm appealing to us this morning. If you've never come to the place of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's speaking to your heart this morning, I'm asking you, don't go home and think about it. I did. Many, many years ago, and it took me a long time to get there. Don't do as I do as I say. Yeah. Move. Get ready like the children of Israel. Get ready to move. Don't go home and think about it. You don't have to ponder whether on the other side of the threshold that there's something bad there, because in Jesus Christ, it is wonderful. Something kicked in and scraped a whole bunch of garbage over here, and I lost the message. Joshua says here, when you see the Ark of the Covenant that's being carried by the priests, the Levites, go after it. When you hear the word of the Lord preached and taught, When the Spirit of God is speaking to you in your heart and conviction is on your heart, go after it. Move on it. It will not deceive you. It will not carry you someplace where you don't want to go. There is deliverance on the other side. There is deliverance on the other side of the threshold. Don't die at the threshold. How many people, I believe, will someday, because I really believe there's consciousness in hell, the scriptures would indicate that. There's consciousness. You know what's going on. You will experience the fires of hell. I'm not trying to fear you into the kingdom this morning. But I believe there's consciousness there. And the hardest thing to know and consider is when you had opportunity that you didn't go. For the children of Israel, what would have been the outcome if they had just stayed back? Well, you guys go ahead, carry on, go across the Jordan River. We're just going to stay on the other side. What did that represent? They'd been in the wilderness for 40 years. Eating drumsticks and breadsticks. That's all they had. Somehow God gave them provision. But the wilderness was not a happy place. The wilderness was not a good... Sometimes he ran out of water, and we got Moses. Got up there and starts banging on the rock. And the one time he did it the wrong way. And guess what? He couldn't get into the new promised land because he disobeyed. Go after it. Here it says, but... Get the next verse. There shall be a space between you and it. This is the Ark of the Covenant he's talking about. Why? About 3,000 feet, by measure. Come not near to it. Why? That went around in my head for quite a while, and I pondered this. So I don't know if you can... My artistry is not near as good as the brother that preceded me here this morning. I will gladly acknowledge that, but let's just imagine for a minute that this is the Jordan River. And the children of Israel are camped all around here. And he says the Levites are to carry the ark, and they're supposed to go down into the river to the point where they get their feet wet. And it says in the Bible that at this time of year was the time of harvest. And at the time of harvest, the water was the highest. So I'm sure it didn't take as long to get their feet wet as what it would have been if they had to go down into the Jordan a little further. But he said, don't get too close. Don't get too close. Stay back a little bit. And why? So that you may see what God does. You see, if they'd have all gathered around this ark, these 2 million people, I'm told, roughly, Brother Claudio, you can correct me if I'm wrong on that, but there's roughly 2 million people, these children of Israel, that had wandered around in the wilderness for some 40 years. If they get too close around this ark, there would be a lot of them that couldn't see what God was doing. Old covenant. What's the new covenant tell us? The new covenant tells us that we have the right and privilege to enter boldly into the throne of grace. Amen? It's not dependent on 2 million people seeing it from afar or staying back from the cross 3,000 feet. That's not what it's talking about. We in the new covenant on this side of the cross have the right and privilege to come to the cross and say, God, have mercy on me. I believe, and I need your grace. difference between Old Covenant and New Covenant. They were in the Old Covenant yet. Don't get too close. You won't see the glory of God. I want to stop there for just a minute. So this blesses my heart. And I'm not going to say how many times I've gone through the scriptures. It's irrelevant. But one of the common themes that I see in the scripture from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation, is God's desire for his people to see his glory. Are you with me? He doesn't want us to see all the other things. But he wants us to see his glory. He wants us to see him as the great deliverer. Well, thank you, brother. See, you can't go yet, brother. It's all right. There we go. Maybe I was doing all right without it. That's all right. Where was I? What was my last statement? Great deliverer. Yes, amen. God wants us to see his glory. He wants us to see us him as the great deliverer. There was nothing that Joshua, nor the Levites, nor the children of Israel could do to cross over this Jordan on their own. It would have taken days and months to process that many people to get across on rafts and on boats. And on, it had taken a month of Sundays to build that many rafts to get these people across the water. You see, God is the great deliverer. Amen? Does anybody agree with that this morning? I hope you do. I hope you see God is the great deliverer, the one who can deliver you from your sin, the one that can bring deliverance and give you life and bring you fresh life, if you will. Free from the bondages of life, whatever they may be, from the bondages of sin. God is the deliverer through Jesus Christ. Mark it down. If you forget everything else I say this morning, mark that down. Jesus is the great deliverer through the work that was done on Calvary's cross and the resurrection power that came forth. God wants you to see his glory as the great deliverer. So the priests go down into the water. They go down there with the ark. They get their feet wet. Right on the edge. The children of Israel are watching them. And they're told to follow and go after. Well, I ain't walking down in the water. I'm going to get my knees wet and my hips will get wet and my shoulders will get wet. I might go below water with my head. Then what do? The Bible says that God stopped the water from flowing. And the water, it says, piled up on a heap. And there's even some indication here that it piled up all the way about 18 miles back to the city of Adam. But between that city, between where the ark was, where the priests were standing in the water with their wet feet, and the city of Adam, all the way back here, there was a whole bunch of tributaries, waterways, rivers, ditches flowing in to this Jordan River. Atheists and people who don't believe in the Word of God say, huh, that's easy to explain. There must have been a landslide. Well, the Bible says that even those rivers and tributaries blocked up, and the water stood still and didn't come into the Jordan. Do you see a God work going on here? Do you see the glory of God taking place here? Do you see a God work going on here? Do you know the fact that you can sit here with life and breath this morning is a God work? Do you know the fact that you have life and breath this morning is God's intervention in your life? Were you thinking while you were sleeping, when I get up tomorrow morning, I should start breathing? Did you think about that through the night? You were... We had a bunch of people in our house that slept through a thunderstorm last night. Didn't even hear any noise. You didn't have time to be thinking whether you should start breathing or not. Your body kept breathing all night long and you weren't consciously thinking about it. For the most part, I keep breathing through the night. Every once in a while I stop breathing and my wife goes... And then I know it's time to wake up again. And it's time to wake up and I start breathing again. But for the most part, under normal circumstances of life, you keep breathing whether you're sleeping or awake. And even now, I'm not even thinking about that I have to consciously make a decision to breathe. It just happens normally. You see, it's a God work. It's a God design. God designed that in you. God made a plan that the children of Israel could get out of the wilderness and into the promised land. And he could stop the water and create a tremendous miracle right before their eyes and stop up the water, pile it up, so that they could walk across on dry ground. Millions of them in a day. Jesus has made a way. He has made a way on dry ground for you to approach the cross and come with your life and who you are and what you are. He has made a way that you too can enter into the promised land and have eternal life. God wants us to see his glory. The instruction was here in verse 4. Come not near it, that ye may know the way. Old covenant. New covenant is, come. All ye that are heavy laden with sin, all you that are weak, all you that are troubled on every side and don't know which way to go, he says, come. Come to the cross that you can see. Come and find the way of eternal life. Because outside of Jesus Christ, eternal life in glory is impossible. Get that. Mark that down. There is no other way by which men can be saved. Are you with me? It doesn't matter if you drive the right color car. It doesn't matter if you drive a horse and buggy. It doesn't matter what you have. It cannot save you. Are you with me? It is Jesus Christ and him alone. It is only through him, and as we gaze upon him, as we rely on him, if we give our all at the altar and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What does merciful mean? God, don't give me what I deserve. That's the mercy of God. Do you realize with me this morning that every one of us that have been physically born on earth deserved death. We do not deserve life. We do not deserve to be saved. Because why? We are sinners. We are full of sin from the get-go. Dear people, this morning, for those of you, and I trust it doesn't exist among us, God have mercy if it does, please. I plead with you in the greatest amount of love that I can have for you. You do not learn sin. And you've heard me say this before. I didn't teach my children to get angry. I didn't teach them to scream. I didn't teach them to pull each other's hair. I didn't teach them to bite each other. I didn't teach them any of those things. It happened because of that sin nature within them. Same thing applied to me, by the way. We were born in sin. And we can go back into Genesis chapter 3 and prove that. It took the glory of God. It took the Savior, the Lamb of God. It took a complete sacrifice of God's only Son on Calvary's cross, where he bled and died and gave his life, a perfect sacrifice. Him that knew no sin. That's what it took to make deliverance for you and I. But you got to believe it. You got to trust it. It's a faith concept. That you might know the way. This morning, if you don't know the way, if we haven't figured that out yet, if we have not been clear enough on that, then please sit down with a brother or sister. There's many here that can explain the way of salvation to you. Let's go on here. That you may know the way which ye must go. And here's a few words that I had to ponder for a little while. Because you haven't seen this way before. I pondered that, prayed over that, meditated on that for a while. Think about it with me for just a minute. Ye, me, you, I, sorry, Tory teachers, I'm supposed to say I, not me. Okay, got it. I, you, all of us together, who were lost sinners, needing a Savior. And to those of us this morning that have stepped over the threshold into life, to those of us who have stepped into grace, those who have stepped into and by faith believing in the work of Jesus Christ, you have not walked that way before. Think about it. It's brand new. Glory. I hope that excites you this morning, that when you enter into the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ, there's a new life that you have not walked before. We're used to the sin. We're used to all the evil that's out there in the world. But we have not walked in the new way yet. It's a new path. And that path is far different than that path. If there's a curse that has come upon the North American church today, and that is the lukewarmness that comes with saying, I'm saved, I've crossed over the threshold, but I'm hanging on to all this garbage from the past. It will not, this garbage of the past will stand in the way of you finding complete deliverance in Jesus Christ. You see, you haven't walked that path before. It's brand new. It's full of life. The Spirit of God has now entered into your heart. You're throbbing to a new heart bent. This heart has been recreated. It's tied into a new vine. This new vine is flowing through you, juice that you've never felt before. You are getting juice from the vine of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is producing something that is brand new, a way that you've never walked before. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So, am I allowed to get a little practical this morning? Is that okay? I don't want to scare you. And I don't want to bring condemnation upon anybody. I just want to bring the love of Jesus Christ that can transform you from an old way into a way that you've never walked before. Transformed and delivered, hallelujah. Is there things, and you identify it in your heart this morning, is there things that have an attraction? There's a hankering in your heart. I still wanted a little bit of it. I say repent. I don't know what that is. I'm going to let the Spirit of God speak to you. But I could name a few things this morning. I'm trusting the Lord, and I don't know a lot about your personal lives, and that's okay. But I'm not afraid to be real. One of the biggest curses in North America, and maybe it was more a risk and an issue when I was a youngster, I don't know. Don't get caught up in the old way with the allurements of this world. Alcohol, drugs, tobacco, all that. We haven't heard a lot about that stuff. But it'll take you down a wrong road. It's not part of the way that we've not traveled before. It's not part of the direction of God. The cleansing effect of God. It's not there. The old way of making a statement about who you are. And maybe, ladies, you struggle with this more than us men. I don't know. I'm not here to. But girls, men, what do we do to draw attention to ourselves? What do we do? How do we walk? How do we conduct ourselves? How do we display ourselves? You say, oh, you're just a sick old man that it's all our ladies' fault. No, I'm not. Brothers, if you got a problem with moral thoughts and moral life, bring it to the cross. But girls, if you're trying to draw attention to yourself with that in mind, bring it to the cross. That's not part of the way that we haven't traveled yet. That's not the part, that's not the way of life and freedom in Jesus Christ. You see, this new life that is now throbbing in our hearts, this new life, this vein of the Lord Jesus that is filling us, is producing something new. It's producing a security in Him. It's producing a rest in Jesus Christ. I don't have to make a statement about who I am anymore. I don't have to show off what I can do. I don't have to show that I have the most fanciest pickup truck or whatever the car or buggy or bicycle or whatever the case might be. You see, it's not important anymore. What's important? The way I haven't traveled yet, that's Jesus. And I'm pursuing it. I'm going after it with everything I have. May I get a little closer to home? Can I get just a little closer to home? I appreciated a brother shared something the other night. Bless my heart. Bless you, brother. He acknowledged something. But it's not just him. There is an air, an aroma throughout our churches, and it alarms me. And that is this air, if you will, this air, this aroma, this of negativity. Ah, bless God when we as brothers and sisters can say, that's me. I need help. I encourage you, walk the path that we haven't walked yet. It's a new path. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And bring those things to the cross. God will help you. Why? Because he wants you to see his glory. And I haven't found anything yet in the Word of God, have you, brother, that's negative about God? The only negativity I've found is the evil one himself. Wow. New covenant. What were some of the commands of the new covenant? Jesus said, not only can we come to him boldly through the throne of grace, but he instituted the church, a body of believers. And I make no apology this morning for highlighting the need for the body of Christ. And I don't have the time this morning to get into it and discover all the purposes of the church. But I'll give you just a few. Paul teaches us, bear one another's burdens. Are you willing to bear one another's burdens? Are you willing to weep with those who weep? Are you willing to rejoice with those who rejoice? Oh, yeah, that's not a problem. It goes a little harder sometimes to weep with those who are weeping. Maybe grappling with this evil one and the deception that comes through sin. Hard to make a choice. Oh, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And you know it's not good over here, but you don't want to quite go over there. And you're at the threshold. And it's so hard to, by faith, step over. You're counting the cost, and I get it. And I'll be patient. But I'm delivering to you the words of eternal life, I believe, this morning. And that is, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Because he's going to help you walk a road that you've not walked before. Because that road is so different than the one you and I've been on. It's so different. Church has been called to make disciples, to preach the gospel, have fellowship. Come near. Come near to that. Not like the old covenant, stand back and watch. New covenant, come near. Come together. See the glory of God, first individually and then as a group. Do you delight in seeing the glory of God this morning? To be ready to walk a way we haven't walked before. Let's read on here. I see, I gotta stop. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. I don't know if a few months or so ago I preached a message here entitled Tomorrow, and maybe you've long forgot about that one. That's okay. Here he uses that same terminology again. Tomorrow. Go home, sanctify yourselves, but be ready to move tomorrow. And God is going to do great and marvelous works right before your eyes. I don't know where your life is at this morning. I don't know where you're bound up. I don't know what's haunting you. I don't know what's plaguing you. But I know that if you will come before the Lord Jesus Christ and say, God, I'm yours. Cleanse me, sanctify me. I'm ready to see you, the Father. I'm ready to see the glory of God and the fullness that comes by following after him. What must we do? And I got 2 minutes. I'm going to close. Well-known passage of Scripture, 2 Chronicles 7. He says here, here's what we need to do. This ain't popular anymore. Sorry, that's wrong English. This is not popular anymore. This is not popular in our circles. This is not popular amongst modern Christianity, unfortunately. We cannot fall into this trap because this is the old way. Are you willing to risk everything to go the path that we haven't traveled yet? And here's the instruction. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Does that mean I might not be right? Does that mean that there might be another way? Does that mean I might have to let go of something? Does that mean that I might have to lay down something? But I'm right. I've got this figured out. No, he says, if my people will humble themselves, acknowledging that you might be wrong. Is that possible? Is that possible in modern day Christianity? Is that possible at Berean Christian Fellowship? That I might be wrong. If my people will humble themselves. And then he says something else here. And pray. If my people will humble themselves and pray. Cry out to God. God, show me your ways. My ways obviously aren't working. That's part of the old path. I want to go down the path that we haven't walked yet. But God, I want to see it. I want to show me. And in the process of showing me, I must humble myself for God to reveal to me what his plan is. Are you willing to humble yourself? That goes against the flesh in a big way. It's not much of my flesh that wants to humble itself. That's part of the old way. Humble yourselves and pray. Third thing reinforces what I said half an hour ago. And seek my face. Did you hear me talk about earlier about going after God and pursuing God? Now the writer is saying, humble yourself, pray, and seek my face. That means we're looking at God as providing and giving instructions on the new way that we haven't traveled yet. And moving in it by faith. We're used to this concept where it fits. And where it fits our wishes and our desires. Example. Some of us are here married. It's traveling a new way. There's some of you that are in courtship. One of you is getting married next week, Lord willing. But it's a pathway you haven't walked yet. But you go into it with anticipation that you know we can do this with Jesus. We can do this with God's help. We know we can move forward in a life together here on planet Earth. And the rest of us here that are married for been married a few years, how do you think we got from there to where we are today? It was with God's help. Have there been failures along the way? Just ask my beautiful young bride. Yes, there's been mistakes along the way, I'm sure, and I know. And we're still traveling a path that we don't know everything yet. We don't go up and down stairs as fast as we used to. We don't have to get up and change diapers in the middle of the evening, or the middle of the night anymore. We don't have to gather around our bed a whole bunch of children and say and sing with them through the thunderstorm, God will take care of you. We don't have those experiences anymore. But God is still showing us new things, and so He will in your Christian life. He is never done with you. No matter how old you are. Because why? It's a road you haven't traveled yet. The old ways of sin, the old ways of our fallenness, it's just old stuff, the same stuff regurgitated and vomited up over and over and over again. That's all Satan has to offer. And at the end, he's just out to destroy you, make a mess of you, and separate you and keep you separated from God. That's all Satan wants to do. And he doesn't care how to do it. He'll even use religion to accomplish that. He'll even use error. And in the last days, apostasy, deception will grow and grow. And seek my face. Oh, here's the hardest one. It says, and turn from your wicked ways. It's summarizing the whole message very well. Remember, I've been saying we have to follow a path that we haven't walked yet, a new area, crossing the threshold into life eternal. Go the other direction. Turn from your wicked ways. And I'm trusting the Spirit of God this morning. Oops, my 2.5 minutes are over 6 minutes ago. I'm trusting the Spirit of God this morning to reveal to you what's the old ways. Just rest assured, if you heard nothing else from this bald old preacher man, it won't end up well if you're going to follow the old ways. Follow the new way, the way we haven't traveled yet. It demands faith. It's a life of faith. Then will I hear from heaven? Think about it. I processed this for quite a while. Sorry. I'm a little slow in my old age. That's okay. He said, if my people will humble themselves, pray, call upon me, pursue me, and turn from their wicked ways, then I who is in heaven, I will hear that. You see, God's actually listening. God's actually watching us. He's got an interest in your life this morning. Hallelujah. Then I will hear in heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Ah, this morning, are you at all interested in walking a path that we haven't walked yet? It demands faith. That's God's economy. He doesn't use money. He doesn't use cryptocurrency. He doesn't use all kinds of other things. His economy is based on faith. That's God's way. He's asking you, have faith in me. I will lead you. I will guide you. I will give you rest. I will bring peace into your life. It is the result of you and I stepping over the threshold and taking hold of Jesus Christ. Are you ready for that? Are you ready to surrender to that? I trust you are. If you're not there, I'm going to keep praying for you. If you don't know how to get there, and you need somebody to help you get there, there's many here that can help you. But you've got to take that decision. You've got to make that decision to grasp onto life, eternal life. You have to make that decision. I'm willing to cross over the threshold and seize onto life. May God bless.